This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and ThisPipeLife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing well. Yeah, it's been a busy day, and yeah, things are good. We're just kind of rocking and rolling.
That's good.
What's going on with you, man?
Oh, dude, you don't talk about a busy day. It's been kind of one of these crazy, insane days where, like, you know how some days you know you got a lot going on, so you have a very strict schedule that everything must begin and finish at the exact same time? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's all back to back.
Yeah. No.
That was my day, and things were going fine until I got a phone call, which was that somebody stole my identity and about $2,000. And that put a little bit of a monkey wrench in
it. Are you for real?
Yeah, I'm being for reals. Yeah, it was very frustrating.
Wow.
any
idea, like, how they did
it's been $1,000 at a Best Buy and $1,000 at a Bed Bath & Beyond, so hopefully they tricked out a really awesome apartment.
There's no telling what they found in that Beyond section.
I'm just telling you.
Dude, that's terrible. I mean, I know you have a habit of leaving your credit card on like bathroom walls and stuff, but you don't think it was that.
Yeah, the weird thing is it was my company business card, and so it was very bizarre because I very rarely ever use that. And so anyway, one way or the other, it all got worked out, but that created for a bit of a hectic day.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry to hear that. I hope hope you get your resources back promptly.
No, I think we got a good bank. We'll get it all worked out. But it did get me ready to spend some time hanging out with you tonight.
Yeah,
man.
Good. That's great. That's great. Hey, I have a question. Can you please make sure the 12-year-old that just walked in shortly ago can exit from the building, because we don't allow minors in here.
I don't think that ever happened, man. I'm looking around. I don't see a 12-year-old anywhere.
The thing is, I'm co-hosting a radio show right now with one. It's because you shaved, Bo, that you look like an infant.
All right.
I have to know, like, you know, you have a beard, you normally rock the beard and, like, are okay with that, but you chose to get rid of it. And I wasn't going to say anything until you got on the air, and I don't know, here we are, and why did you lose your beard?
And I'm sorry, am I making you feel uncomfortable now? You're worried the cops are going to go by right now.
I don't want, you know, there is a city ordinance where, you know, to be in a tobacconist, you're supposed to be, you know, accompanied by an adult if you're under 18 and all this. And I know I'm no adult, and I know the live studio audience is no adult. And so, you know, how do I deal with this?
Okay, all right. Well, here's what happened. Yes, I am cleanly shaven for the first time in quite some time.
I'm jealous, though. I need to point this out, because you still have a jawline.
Well, that's part of the reason.
I don't have.
That's part of the reason why I
haven't had one of those in like 10 years.
So, you know, I've been on this, I've been trying to kind of cut back on the food intake, increase on the exercise and everything. I do this a couple of years. I purge.
Yeah, you're on the old sticks and stones diet.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I was making some progress. I have made some progress. And then also I've got a speaking engagement coming up late March. So I thought, if I wanted to just kind of see what I looked like, now would be the time, because I can grow it back by the time I have to be on stage. And so this was almost kind of like, I'm just kind of curious. So I didn't tell anybody about it. I just decided one night I would just shave. I walked into the kitchen, freaked out my wife. It was,
who's that? Make it stop.
No, she's like, I remember that guy. I dated him in college. But I look.
And your sweet little daughter was like, who opened the Ark of the Covenant?
I don't know. My kids had a hard time with it the next day. And needless to say, the beard will be back.
that's great. You know, it's good to mix it up occasionally. The last every time I shave, which is once every 2-3 years now, it's always a nice reminder that it's better this way.
Yeah, right.
It's always better.
That's
this
right.
Way.
That's right. All right. Oh, that's what I look like. That's why I cover it up.
You know,
okay.
I remember. You know, I remember those days when I was in a more. Do you call it like a professional industry or something? You know, I wear in a suit going to work, selling annuities and crap like this. And, you got to keep
that seminary insurance job right there.
Yeah, no, exactly. Right. So you got, you know, now I have long hair and a beard, and it's like, well, I wonder what it looked like to, you know, don the old tie and, you know, put on some khakis and all that stuff. And then you shave your face and you're like, oh,
man. I'll say this is just kind of a last bit of the beard talk, which is that, you know, for me,
it may not be the last bit.
I know. Well, I did say beforehand, I hope I just have to stay behind my pop filter, because if the audience gets one screen grab, clean screen grab of me with no beard, it's going to be over. The memes are going to come like washing over.
No, it's great. I'm sure someone can Photoshop a beautiful beard on top of your naked face.
The trick is for me, I'd like to see that. The trick is for me, man, I can grow a pretty legitimate beard pretty quickly. It's the stash that's difficult. So like for a while here, like
does it come in? I've never noticed it comes in kind of scraggly. Yeah,
it's a little rough. So it's one of those things. Like I've got to actually for a while have a chin strap beard to get to the level where at least the chin strap is actually holding up the rest of the face, while the mustache comes in after the fact.
Yeah, that's it takes commitment to power through that.
It takes strategy, is what it takes.
It takes strategy. I would just steer clear of playgrounds or schoolhouses or anything like that.
But during have two
that
children.
Time. Yeah. Other than your own.
All of a sudden, when I go to the
door. Be sure to bring an ID. That'd be wise.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's always good. They probably still won't take it. But hey, man, we got a lot of great stuff going on beyond the battlefield that is my face. And that is, of course, that we are now in this beautiful month of February. We had an awesome month of January where we announced the Country Square Radio Pipe Club.
That's international, right, man. Yeah.
International Pipe Club. And, we said, I think on the second episode in, that basically if you join the Pipe Club within the month of January, you were a founding member. And man, I am pleased, shocked, and I got to tell you, humbled to say that the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club has now officially launched with 52 founding members.
Dude, that is great.
Is that not incredible?
That's so great, man. We are so honored and thankful for y'all to invest in us like that and just be committed to our community. And man, 52 folks in 1 month, that's pretty great.
We're building to something amazing, and it is an investment in the show, but it is also an investment in the community as well.
In fact,
we're two-thirds of the way through towards one of our goals, which is to open up the Squire Lounge online, and I'm really excited for once we get there.
Yep.
But we got to give a shout out, of course, to new club members who joined this last past week. Some of you are founding members and some of you came in February, but it's still good.
No, that's good.
Yeah,
good. Everything's good.
All right. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for me to butcher these names?
Yeah, I'm just excited to see who you're going to offend tonight.
No, man. I've read through them. We got Squire level members coming in. We got two final founders on the Squire level, which is Greg Acock. I can't believe I butchered Greg. I said Greg. Okay.
Greg. Wow. Thank you for joining, Greg.
Bad. Greg Acock. We also have Rob Forbes. Now, Rob Forbes, of course, is the very popular financial magazine, robsmoney.com. I think, is that Rob?
I thought it was like Rob's piggy bank.
Rob Forbes joining at the Squire level. And then we also have Travis Robinson of the Swiss family, but not that one. And then Tyler Patrick, he who has two first names, but no last name. So Tyler Patrick, shout out to you guys. Thanks so much for joining us and joining us at the Squire level. And then, of course, we've also got two new pipe pilgrims as well. James Foster, who honestly needs no introduction. We're talking Pylorns, someone who, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, you've heard us mention his name several times.
And you probably bumped into him elsewhere in the pipe community as well. Just a real, real dear friend of ours.
And then finally, the last member who I thought was going to be the only name I butchered before I butchered Greg. We've got Dylan Forsyth.
Forsyth.
Forsyth. He's a bad guy. He's for the Sith. No, you think it's Forsyth?
I think it's Forsyth.
It's got a Y in there.
You know, the beauty, and Bo and I were talking about this before, I let Bo read all the names, that gives me an opportunity to make fun of him, but also, it keeps my record clean, right? We get away with this, like, oh, they're cute little Southerners that can't read, shtick.
This is what I'm saying. We're perpetuating a negative stereotype.
No,
I'm dyslexic, people.
No,
it's not because I'm Southern.
No, I mean, it's just, but it's kind of a rite of passage, If you're interact with the Country Squire, with our podcast and really are a part of the community, at some point, we have butchered a very important thing about you, and typically that's your name.
Yeah, your name, where you're from, the accent that is typically supposed to be attributed to your country of origin. Yeah,
That's right.
It's a rite of passage. It's a hazing.
So, just consider yourself honored and brought into the full communion community.
Or just forgive us. That's cool too. We'll take that. But hey, shout out to all the new club members and to the existing club members.
Yeah.
As we enter into February, as we've got this great founding face, we want to go ahead and kind of build this thing out. So we are putting out this week two club members. We've got the Country Squire Radio logo that has existed for several years at this point.
That member Pylorns made himself.
Exactly. That logo's not changing, but we were looking at for the club, we want to have something unique about it. So we're putting it out to the Pipe Club. We want to come up with a good logo for the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. You can take elements of the current album artwork, or you could do something completely different. We're really kind of opening it up. So if you've got some artistic talent, if you don't have artistic talent but want to try it anyway, send in your entries. You can email them in show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com. And we're looking for those logo entries for the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club.
Yeah, it's exciting. I wish Bo and I had the talent that a lot of you do. You know, obviously there's some graphic folks out there and some folks that just do it kind of on the side or as a hobby, but we'd love to see kind of what thoughts are there. And we'll start to see, you know, just kind of how some of these congeal and move forward. So I'm loving all the Twitter feedback.
It's yeah, fantastic. Thank you for that. Well, at least the first meme related to my beard is actually one of me with a beard. So that's good. Thank you for that, Portland Paul. Oh man, we got a great show. You know, you talk about talents, and we've got amazing talented people who are members of the club. Amazing talented people who are listening right now. But there is an amazing talent sitting next to me tonight, and his name is John David Cole. And the talent that you've got many talents, I should say. But I think the talent that most of us who've spent time with you and around you in this industry know is that you have got a palate like no one else in the world.
Bo, you can't pull the wool over these people's eyes. I mean, thank you. That's
no, that is,
kind,
are you kidding me? Like, everybody that writes in asking about, like, you know, flavors of tobacco, they're like, well, I don't have John David's palate. I mean, like, there is a gift that you have in terms of being able to smoke various tobaccos, even obviously blend these tobaccos, knowing what you're creating, and then also reviewing these with a certain tasteability, if you will, that the rest of us, I think, can only, or at least have only been able to hope for. And so by popular demand, this has been a request that has come in a couple of times. There has been a request for us to do a show on the art of tasting. And that is essentially, how do I expand my palate? What do I need to do? How do I pull out these amazing flavors that you find throughout the blends in the tobacco world? How do I get that John David Cole palate?
Man, golly, I'm going to have to leave the shop at some point, and I just want my head to be able to fit through the door. So if we could dispense with some of this, a lot of smokers, and this is a great topic to cover. You know, some of our most downloaded episodes are kind of these 101 episodes, right, Bo? Like folks, you know, find us and they immediately go to the, you know, how do I keep my pipe lit? Or tell me about the different types of tobacco. Or,
right,
you know, when they're talking about this particular pipe shape, what on earth does that mean? Or something like this. And a lot of newer pipe smokers, they come to the game thinking that, you know, maybe with trying all the different types of tobacco, they immediately are going to be able to pick up on nuances from this type and that type and different flavors and elements that go into different tobaccos from a tasting standpoint. And then they're frustrated because they can't get it. It's like, you know, well, this tobacco, it smells like this and the room notes like this, but it tastes like heat, you know, or it just tastes like, you know, it's kind of a sweet taste, but it's not like.
Say it. Everybody's heard you say it before.
It smells and tastes like raisins.
Raisins.
You know, you know, and so there's this element in which people get frustrated because they kind of think all the tobaccos taste the same. As a matter of fact, I've got a really good customer and friend who lives in Starkville, Mississippi, a couple hours north of here. And every time he orders a half pound of Rivendell, which is one of our house
brands
here at the Squire.
Brilliant, yeah.
And then he says, give me a half pound of anything else. And when I ask him, well, do you have any preferences? It's this way every single time. He wants a half pound of Rivendell and a half pound of anything else. When I ask, well, you know, give me something to work with here, he's like, to be honest, John David, I really can't taste any difference between any of them. And so I want a different tobacco I feel like I'm, you know, at least trying something different, which is kind of interesting to me. So, you know, you've got folks out there that just haven't really given themselves the opportunity to expand their palate or don't know how to, you know. And so, therefore, you know, it's kind of like when you're drinking coffee, you know, a lot of us that are not really versed in the ways of coffee and everything, particularly with these flavored coffees, this tastes like blueberry and, you know, this one's supposed to taste like snickerdoodle. And when you drink it, it's just like, well, it just kind of tastes like coffee, you know. And it's like we don't know the words to put with it to bring out all the different nuances. So this is particularly true amongst folks that are super committed aromatic smokers. And again, it's easy to like kind of bow up and you know, flog the aromatic smoker, right? Because, I mean, it's just, oh, you haven't graduated from that. They're, you know, some of the most...
Wait, hang on. You're not saying that I do that.
No.
So not bow up as in... Act like Bo.
Oh, wow. That was just awful. No. Look, I mean, some of my most sophisticated customers and pipe smokers that come in the Country Squire and are longtime friends are aromatic smokers. But it is true, at least in the United States, that most new pipe smokers are going to start out on the aromatic side of the spectrum.
Right. Yep.
Okay. And I think... because there's just a simplicity there of the flavor profile, it's hard for those folks to pick out nuances without really trying to go kind of out of their comfort zone against their grain and figure out something that pushing the envelope, as it were, kind of, you know, that you have to get out of your comfort zone a little bit in order to come back to your favorite and really understand what you appreciate about it, which I think is kind of interesting.
It's kind of similar to what we were talking about a little bit before the show started here tonight. I was talking about coffee and how, you know, a lot of people in kind of our local community, their entry level into anything beyond coffee, and for example, cappuccino, would have been gas station cappuccino, which if you know anything about cappuccinos, gas station cappuccino is not a gas station, like that's not a cappuccino. And so there's just like this...
That's a nasty milkshake.
Yeah, exactly. It's this like this extremely sugary thing.
Which has all gotten us through a long drive at some point or another.
Yeah. And right. So, you know, as you kind of expand, you know, I'm worried that I'm kind of falling into this coffee snob place, partially because of the amazing coffees available to you at Beanfruit, beanfruit.com. Use the code CSR for 5% off. I do.
Speaking of shameless. But,
but, you know, as I've started kind of going to these coffee shops and ordering a dry cappuccino, 9 times out of 10, I don't get a dry cappuccino because they don't, no offense, but they don't know what I'm talking about.
They don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that happens a lot, particularly with folks that sell pipe tobacco, or you might, you know, have a store that, you know, has a few pipe-related things, but they mostly do cigars or cigarettes or something else. And so, you know, a lot of these folks, they're just not involved enough in the culture of it for you to understand kind of, you know, if I'm looking for a, you know, pipe tobacco that has cedary flavors, that has a smokiness or whatever, I mean, you know, they're just not going to pick some of these things up. So the goal, though, here, what we're trying to do is get you a more sophisticated palate. And the reason for that is not to just enjoy, you know, expand your knowledge, but also so you'll enjoy the pipe smoking more. I mean, when you are picking out different flavors throughout your smoke, it's something that just makes your smoking session more exciting. It's just more fun. It really is. So the first place I always tell people to start, I'm going to just give a few bullet points, and I'd love to hear some of our live listeners, live viewers, you know, feedback on this kind of thing. But a few bullet points on just kind of expanding your palate and trying to figure out more and more ways to appreciate the different nuances of pipe tobacco. I always tell the folks the first stop is to shock your senses. Okay.
Ooh, okay.
And what I mean by that is, my guess is if you're a newer pipe smoker, you're probably stuck in kind of a rut. You're probably stuck in a rut of, even if you don't know it, you've smoked several pipe tobaccos that maybe are in the same category. Maybe you're really into berry flavors, or, you know, boy, you really like vanilla, or, you know, things like Lane 1Q, BCA, things that are in that kind of realm where there's a comfort zone there that's kind of developed over time. And you don't even know that maybe it's developed just because you don't know what all's out there. But I always love when I point people to force themselves to smoke through an entire ounce or an entire tin of something thoroughly, totally different. And I always equate it to my own personal Throgmorton experience. I'll never forget the first can of Throgmorton I ever opened. I opened it up and I was like, pipe tobacco can smell like that. You know, it's one of those things, if you are not particularly, you know, well versed in different types of pipe tobacco, if you're stuck on cherries and raspberries and caramels and all these other things, but, you know, you open a can of tobacco like that and it challenges you. It challenges you to kind of redo your paradigm or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, it's almost like a lot of those entry level aromatics are almost like going to the candy shop. You open up a tin of Throgmorton, it's like, oh, you got a meal right in front of you.
Yeah, you're going to the butcher shop.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
What I would tell people to do, and I've told folks to do this often, and it's always neat to kind of see the results of it, is to pick out two or three tobaccos that really challenge kind of your daily go-to. You know, whatever your comfort zone is, your wheelhouse, pick out a couple of tobaccos that are very interesting, well thought of tobaccos. These are tobaccos with a lot of reviews. They're storied tobaccos that you can find a lot of research or, you know, resources on, and smoke those and force yourself to get through the whole thing. And I really think that's key. you want to at least give yourself an ounce of tobacco to get through, just so you can kind of fully appreciate the things that are there, even if you don't like it. Ones I would point you to, particularly if you're coming from the aromatic side, tins like, of course, like Throgmorton. I'd shy away from the Throgmorton cellar if you're really looking for something to kind of interrupt your flavor profile. The cellar is just sweet enough that you might tend to put that in that sweet category. We're really looking for things that are going to be different from your normal go-to. So the Throgmortons are really good. Presbyterian mixture, really interesting tobacco, of course, near and dear to our heart because it is the ordained tobacco for all time.
No, it was predestined to be on this episode.
It was. You know, Presbyterian mixture, great tobacco, super complex, interesting.
You want to talk about shocking your senses?
Yeah. I mean, it's just different.
Right.
So,
yeah.
There's all these arguments of what goes in it because it's just such an interesting tobacco. Tobaccos like Escudo or Cajun Cake. These are tobaccos that are going to be probably a pretty good bit away from what you're used to smoking. Mm-hmm. And if you'll smoke, allow yourself, give yourself the opportunity to smoke through an ounce of two or three different tobaccos like that and get through all of it. Just power through, smoke through them and force yourself, even if you don't like it, to go through it. I think what you'll notice is you'll start to pick out things about those tobaccos that you're having strong reactions to, okay? When I mean that...
You don't mean strong reactions like bad or...
No, maybe not like a physical reaction, but like a, man, I don't like this because I taste blank. Don't like this because I taste used Band-Aid or whatever whatever that taste is. I don't like this because I really, when I eat a steak... I love steak, but there's a char crispy on the outside when it gets, the flame burns it too much.
Okay,
and
that
crispiness, it really bothers me. And being specific like that about, what you do and don't like about the pipe tobacco. And I think what you're doing is you're giving yourself an opportunity to describe what you're experiencing, even if you don't like it. And so when you finish a whole tin or a whole ounce of this stuff, give yourself the opportunity to, be really, really descriptive. And I also find it encouraging and, when I'm smoking, and I can't work on new blends when people are around, people are always like, what you working on? I'm like, well, nothing right now because you're here. I have to smoke when I'm thoughtfully trying tobaccos. I have to do this when I'm quiet and typically when I'm alone because I've got to be able to focus on the different things that my tongue is experiencing and things that I'm liking and disliking about the tobaccos. And I would encourage you to do that with these tobaccos as well. When you try something different out of your wheelhouse, make sure you at least dedicate a few of those bowls to just some quiet time by yourself. Just kind of with each puff, you're slowly puffing your pipe. You want to smoke it cool, gentle puffs. Try to figure out ways to, get yourself quiet enough to where you can really focus in on what you're tasting. And then I think what is always fun about this is when you finish this assignment, okay? You've given yourself kind of this, assignment. I'm going to smoke these tobaccos I never really would have smoked. Now I'm going to go back and smoke the tobacco that I'm used to. And that's where the shock happens, okay?
Yeah.
Like you've shocked yourself one way. You've made yourself suffer through stuff that you never thought you would, or boy, that doesn't make the room smell like cherries and I never thought I'd smoke that, but okay, I did my homework. I smoked through a tin of it. But now you're going to go back to your Cherry Cavendish. Now you're going to go back to your Lane 1Q or something like that. And you may still like it, but it's going to be different.
Because you're going to identify.
It's always going to be different.
Yeah.
And I see it almost every single time. People, when they go back to the old standard, even if they didn't like the other, they think, okay, well, try these tobaccos. And this is why I hated these tobaccos for this reason, but this is why I liked this tobacco. This tobacco does something to my tongue that is pleasing. It coats it in a certain way. It's got there's a sugar in there that's really, that stands out. It, makes me think of a particular pastry my grandmother made or something. You'll be amazed at the things that it kind of sparks you to do. So it's almost like when you're strength training, a lot of these strength training programs, which you and I do both regularly.
Oh, clearly,
obviously,
yeah.
If you're watching live, you can tell. But, a lot of these strength training, they have this kind of method where you're shocking your muscle systems. You have to work out one muscle really hard, and then you work out the opposing muscle. And somehow that, you know, forces your body to recover in a way that is more helpful to you overall.
Huh, okay.
And so, and it's really kind of funny when you're, you know, smoking a pipe, you know, I think you can kind of use that same concept. So, go back and do that and just see what you get. I think the quietness really helps also, while you're smoking quietly. Again, you'll also, you know, as you're smoking, you'll want to smoke individual leaves too. And this is kind of cool. From tobacconists like the Country Squire or, you know, any of the online retailers or, you know, maybe your local brick and mortar, if you've got a dedicated pipe shop close by, you know, you can go in and say, hey, I want an ounce of, you know, Latakia. I want an ounce of Turkish tobacco, or you know, do you have a yellow Virginia? Do you have a red Virginia?
Kind of your source.
Yeah, do you have? I mean, these are your components, your blending components. You know, I would definitely encourage you to smoke each one of the components as well. And I think, matter of fact, tonight, just in honor of this, I was smoking a bowl of Perique.
Well, there you go.
And that's probably why I won't go to bed for the next 7 hours. But you smoke each individual blending component, maybe not a whole bowl, but you know, you smoke enough of it to kind of get okay, what's going on with this tobacco? What's going on here? You know, I might not smoke a whole bowl of Latakia, but I'm smoking it pure, enough of it just to get kind of what this would do to a blend if I put it in a blend.
Yeah.
And so I really always encourage people to do that. And pay attention as well. And I'm kind of rambling here, but there's a lot to, you know, developing your palate. Pay attention as well to what you're smelling and what you're tasting. You know, I hear often it's like, man, the pipe, you know, when you're not smoking it and you're sitting next to someone that is smoking it, it makes the room smell so good. But when you're smoking the pipe, you don't really smell it as much.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced that?
No. Yeah, totally.
You kind of feel like, you know, when someone else is smoking a pipe, you can enjoy the smell of it. But when you're smoking it, you don't really smell it as much.
Some of my favorite tobaccos, I almost enjoy more when somebody else is
when
smoking
someone else is smoking them, right? Yeah, exactly. So give yourself the opportunity to try to smell the tobacco. And there's a method I do with this, okay? When I'm smoking my pipe and it's just kind of at a nice slow burn and it's smoldering in the bowl, I will take the pipe out of my mouth and kind of let my senses clear a little bit. And then I'll take the bowl and just go right underneath my nose. And actually, I'll give it just a little room so that, you know, I'm not just,
hold it at chest level.
Maybe at chest level where I'm just not breathing it straight from the bowl. You don't want to, you know, overdo it. But if you'll give yourself just enough of that smoke to come off the bowl, straight from the bowl into your nose, and you'll start to appreciate some of the smell that way. And when you know what you're smoking and associate it immediately with what you're smelling, it seems to me that helps a good bit too.
Interesting. So, yeah, that's good. I mean, I guess it really is proximity. If most pipes are going to be a certain level from your nose, which means that you're picking up specifically the scent at which it's burning, as opposed to the you know, the flowing smoke scent that everybody else would normally get.
Absolutely. It's real fresh, and you know exactly what you're experiencing. So, another thing which I will tell on our good friend Russ Hicks, who is determined to expand his palate, you can chew these leaves too. You can actually take individual leaves, and we've all, you know, if you're into this as much as you know some of us are, you've actually chewed some of these leaves before. It's a lot of fun actually if you'll take a blend and just dump a little handful on the table and start to pick out similar leaves. You can actually start to group them by color and cut, and you're like, oh, well, okay, I think I've got all the Virginias over here. That looks like Cavendish. I don't know if that's Perique or Burley, but we're going to put those over there. And then you can actually take a leaf and just kind of chew on it a little bit.
It's a pipe surgeon right there.
Exactly. We had a blend that we put out not too long ago, and I get this text message from Russ, and it's like, what's going on with this particular flavor? And I'm like, how on earth did you pick that up? We tried to hide that in there. And he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm sitting here chewing on it. So... And I think there's something to that you can really glean a lot from. Of course, you're not going to just chew a whole mouthful of this stuff, but just let your self experience that taste just a little in a different way. And I think, you know, it'll bring out some more opportunity for you. Okay, lastly, this is probably the most fun element of all this for me. But how am I going to grow, you know, my understanding of pipe tobacco and my understanding of, you know, different types of pipe tobacco, how to describe them, you know, picking out different flavors. You know, this is hard for me. I always have to go back to, and this I can extrapolate on this momentarily, but, using your words. You know how you're
we're working with that with our kids, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. You're telling your baby daughter or whatever, like, okay, use your words, like, uh-huh. What are you processing here? What are you
as Daniel Tiger would say, use your words, use your words. You don't get that, but the dads and moms out there, you know what I'm talking about.
They know what that's about. But you know, you use your words. And so what I'm trying to say with this is, when we go into pipe tobacco, we're so tempted to use words like, you know, sweet or bold.
Mm.
But pick out some of those words. Pick out some of those words, uh-huh. and don't allow yourself to use those words.
That's good.
Okay, and dig in deeper. What is a form of sweet that you can dive into that is more specific? Is it something is there a sourness to it, or is it a sweet and salty flavor? I have to tell this story because I it's part of my own story, and I use it on a daily basis here at the shop. But if you're a longtime listener of the Country Squire, you know that I have had enough counseling education to be extremely dangerous. and you know, kind of consider that a part of the fun of my job is that people come into our shop and they light a pipe up with me. And I'm no therapist by any means, but we sit here and, you know, we talk about life. And before I worked at the Country Squire, I actually was in school studying to be a counselor. And so, you know, I didn't accomplish it. I didn't graduate. There's no licensed professional, anything on my pedigree. But I have just enough of this counseling experience to kind of understand something about trying to take away some of these words and replacing them with more specific feelings. When we were in school, studying to be a counselor, we had to read this book. It's called The Art of Helping.
Oh.
It's by Robert Carcuff, and it's just a super good book if you're interested on how to hear someone. And you'll understand why I'm talking about this in a moment. I promise this is going to make sense for pipe tobacco in a very short amount of time. But The Art of Helping, it's cool because, you know, when you're in the therapy room with someone, you're trying, in order to establish a rapport with them, you really need that person to know that you understand what they're experiencing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So like my time with you, Bo, you know, if you're the counselor, is going to be much more effective if I know that you get what I'm talking about.
If I restate what you had said to me.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So I communicate something, I'm a wreck, and you say, man, that sounds like you feel terribly insecure or something like that. And, you know, instead of just, man, that sounds bad, kind of thing.
Got it. Yeah.
And so there's something interesting that happens when there's a connection between the client and the counselor. And in the back of this Art of Helping book, this was one of my favorite exercises in seminary that we did. There is a feeling word list, and this feeling word list, this is a lot of fun.
Wow, look at that.
This is a lot of fun. So you think about, okay, what am I thinking when I go into a counseling room? Am I words like sad, angry, confused, happy, scared, weak? Those are kind of the top level words that maybe, you know, we give ourselves. That's kind of the first place we go to when we're trying to describe our feelings. But let's say you didn't allow yourself to use the word sad. Okay. What if you couldn't use the word sad?
Okay.
All right. But you had to still express that emotion. So could you say something like hopeless or lost?
Disheartened.
Painful, disheartened, uneasy, distressed, devastated. What about angry? Could you say words like irate or livid or resentful, seething? You know, these are things that maybe just add a little more nuance and
descriptive
specificity to what you're trying to do. And anyway, the whole reason I'm saying this is, like, take out some of those words and try to look at a deeper way or a more specific, nuanced way to describe what you're tasting in pipe tobacco.
Mm.
And that helps me all the time. I always think of this silly list of feeling words in the back of this Robert Carcuff book when I'm thinking about different tobaccos to try or how to describe tobaccos. And I was trying to come up with a resource, and maybe someday I'll just have to write my own word list or something
I'm seeing a poster right now
that smokers
can
use.
Awesome, yeah.
I, you know, there might be something to that, but I want to borrow from our friends in the coffee community, because coffee, you know, you've got
They're like cousins right there.
Yeah, it's like kissing cousins, right? Yeah. But, you know, you've got, when you try this cup of coffee, there's just such an effort to describe what's going on with each sip. You know, when I'm tasting this, I'm tasting this and this and this. And you may have heard of, I'm actually not familiar with them, but I have been assured that they're a reputable coffee company, Counterculture Coffee. If you actually go to counterculturecoffee.com, they have a nice resource center. If you click on the learn tab and go down to resource center, they have a coffee taster's flavor wheel. And I thought this would be at least a good start for people to go to if you're looking for ways to describe, oh, well, you know, I taste a fruit flavor. What fruit could that be? Or I taste something, you know, sugary and salty. Okay, well, is it like a chocolate toffee, a chocolate, sugar, or is it a brown sugar, or is it a marshmallow, or a butter, or a honey, or a nougat, you know?
Mm.
This just kind of gives you an idea. You can Google all types of different flavor wheels and tasting wheels and things like that, but I thought the one at Counterculture was a good, just a really nice breakdown. They even have a kind of a wheel of bad flavors as well, what they would think of as bad, things like overripe or tainted or over-roasted, mold, all these crazy flavors, you know. And the funny thing is about pipe tobacco, some pipe tobaccos actually thrive on those flavors, which are kind of fascinating. You actually might taste iodine in pipe tobacco, and that'd be a good thing.
Right.
But I think a device like this, something that can kind of give you options on how to better, more specifically describe what you're tasting can be really, really helpful. So it's not a perfect translation from coffee into the pipe tobacco world, and certainly it's not from the the counseling world into the kind of understanding it. But I think that idea of taking those words like, oh, that tastes sweet, or oh, that tastes bold, like, it, don't allow yourself to describe that tobacco with that word.
Go deeper.
You know, and try to figure out. And I think maybe we can learn some things from the folks of the coffee world. And in the meantime, I'll maybe try to work on our own flavor wheel.
No, that's good. That's good. I mean, because, you know, one of the things that you've expressed before with, in terms of, for example, raisins, is that people say raisins, but what they mean is they're getting a dried fruit taste.
Yeah.
And they just associate with raisins because most people have had raisins, but you may not have had dried cranberries or dried figs or something of that nature.
That's right.
And so, you know, you only know what you know. But man, I think you've given a lot of great things.
These are just things to kick around and in some cases to chew on.
Literally.
You know, yeah. I mean, I think there are ways that you can kind of shock your pipe smoking experience into something a little different, just to force yourself to start to pick up on things you're not used to, and then try to find ways to describe those flavors. And I think when you do that, even if you immediately aren't connecting with those flavors, I think you will start to recognize more and more because you're becoming aware of more and more. I promise this is not like you have to be the horse whisperer kind of thing to do this. Like, well, you know, practice, give yourself some quiet time to smoke some tobaccos you're not familiar with and would not have given yourself a chance to smoke. You know, maybe smoke some individual ingredients like we talked about, and then come up with specific words. Use those words and use them. Don't let yourself, you know, use the word weak. Instead, you want to use the word, you know, inadequate or overwhelmed or powerless or, you know.
I do a lot of negative words here.
Well, what about strong? You don't use the word strong. You want to use the word secure or, you know, energetic or determined or confident.
Think about
some different things that you can kind of drill down, I guess, and go to that lowest common denominator. I don't know. It's something to think about, but that concept has always helped me.
Well, you know, one of the things I loved is that you encouraged people to shock their senses by getting tobaccos that they might not normally get. And one of the great ways that you could do that is to make sure that, let me put it this way. If you're going to be shocking your senses outside of your normal comfort zone, you probably don't want to put it in your normal pipe.
No, that's right.
You know, that's right. Because you're going to want something that's going to be a good, fresh smoke every single time, regardless of what tobaccos you have, be it Presbyterian or, I don't know, cherry to the max blend.
That's right.
So the point is, though, you're going to want a good, clean smoke, and that's what you're going to get from a Missouri Meerschaum pipe.
That's right.
Man, we've got a Missouri Meerschaum pipe actually sponsoring this episode.
I love this little pipe. This is the shortstop pipe. And what they've done, the folks at Missouri Meerschaum, of course, they're always creative and looking for the next thing. But this is the same exact bowl that's on the smallest Missouri meerschaum, which is the miniature. They took that same exact bowl, but they've given it kind of a long shank uh-huh. shank with a stem, and it's just a really long, tiny pipe. It comes in a one with a black stem, and then also with an amber stem. They're finished and unvarnished, styles, and just a really nice pipe. It cools the smoke down just enough to have that longer stem, but a good tasting pipe. It's one of those pipes that is just going to be the perfect amount of bowl for, you know, that quarter pinch of Latakia, you know, because you want to, you know, just see what it's, you know, tastes like.
I mean, you want to talk so, tiny. I mean, the bowl itself is basically the size of the shank.
That's right.
I mean, it's not that much bigger.
That's right. Yeah, it's just a really small pocket pipe, but it's got enough of a length to just make you feel a little more comfortable out smoking a pipe so small.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, back when we did the tiny pipes and we focused another Missouri meerschaum pipe that is actually much shorter than this. I remember looking at it and thinking like, well, I could see that as a keychain, but I can't imagine myself smoking that.
Yeah.
This one I can actually imagine smoking you got the length there.
Yeah, the length I think adds just a lot to it.
Absolutely.
So, really cool little pipes. They retail for right around $5, and man, we're proud to carry them at the Country Squire, and we really appreciate our friends at Missouri Meerschaum supporting us and making these great products.
Man, if you got a short stop this week, be sure to smoke it. Put your picture on Twitter doing so. Send it to us. We will retweet that out. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that you thank them for supporting this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I got to give a shout out here. You know, we were joking about how we butcher names on this show. We do two things on this show. We talk tobacco and we butcher names. Not always in that order. But for sure, this comes from a listener who I have butchered his name in the past. And you'll see what I'm saying. This is from listener Alex Carnes, who says, "What pipe shape was utterly unattractive to you, but after a while came to be one that you just had to have?" He says, "I'm going to help you out with my last name," and he actually spells his name out phonetically.
Carnes. Right, because Bo would want to say Carnes or Carnies.
Didn't I say, I think I said Karens? And
Karens, maybe?
Carnies? Carnes?
But see, Alex knows us well enough to know, you know, it's just Carnes. So, yeah. And that's how we do it.
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah, great question. I will tell you the exact answer for me. I didn't have to think about it, but for a split second. And that pipe shape is the Prince. Some reason, when I first got into pipe smoking, I just saw Princes everywhere, and they just really bothered me. There was something about a Prince-shaped pipe. Maybe it was because when I started working at the Country Squire, we had a lot of Prince-shaped pipes that were older here that hadn't moved in a long time. And I was like, oh, well, man, those must not be popular. No one buys those. It's, you know, the pipe has been sitting on the shelf for, 15 years. But I was put off by the Prince. The Prince, for some reason, did not connect with me. And then I smoked one. One day I smoked one, and I love a Prince. Now I'm just stuck on a doggone Prince. There's something about it that, I think the height of the bowl, compared to the width of the bowl, I really like, you know, there's a Stanwell Prince I have that's an older pipe. I don't think they make anymore. Savinelli, I like the dimensions and the proportions of the Prince that they make. Some Dunhill Princes are some of the most beautiful Dunhills I've ever seen in my life. I don't own a Dunhill Prince, but I think the most lovely ones I've seen have been Princes. Yeah, it's just a shape that I didn't like. It just wasn't appealing to me at all. And then I smoked one, and now I'm hooked.
Man, you were making those doves cry.
The what?
The doves cry.
The doves cry?
It's what it sounds like when doves cry. It's a Prince song.
Okay.
Net fail. For me, man, it's it's actually one we recently talked about, which is the Cuddy. Now, I've yet to actually smoke a Cuddy, but, you know, I have always found those to be... is pointless too hard of a word? I mean, like, you know, obviously I've turned around on this, but, like, originally I just could not get the appeal. They looked weird. They were so small in terms of the bowl size.
Yeah.
You know, most of the times you see them in clay, and for the longest time I just had no desire to own a clay pipe. But I think this year, or really the end of last year, was really when things started to turn around. And I think it's actually
that iconic picture of Santa Claus. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And seeing him smoke that cutty pipe, and then also kind of wanting to research it more than us actually doing the episode Cutting Up on the Cutty, where we actually looked at the history of it. And now, I don't know, I guess I appreciate the fact that it is almost like the original, or and that's not necessarily true. They're you know, obviously pipes and ways of smoking that kind of predate
that. Yeah, but there's something
about
that ancient shape.
It's almost like that's like the missing link, you know what I mean, in terms of kind of the modern pipe versus everything that came before. And so, you know, it's got such a history behind it. And honestly, I kind of see the appeal. It's gotten kind of gotten me. And,
okay.
Almost to the point where when I get my cutty pipe, I'm almost inclined to actually get a clay cutty pipe.
To just go full on cutty.
Yeah, I'm still a little nervous about that, just because the idea of smoking a clay pipe, just for me, it just still, like, I taste mud in my mouth. That may sound ridiculous.
I mean, you are ridiculous. But I think it'd be worth trying. I think it's something to look into. You know, and obviously, what better, you know, clay pipe than a cutty shape?
Yeah, well, and then I think there's also kind of this, I do like also the romantic idea of like, you know, the old school pub, in which case they just had all of these cutty clay pipes.
That's right.
All over the place. And just you'd go down and you'd, you know, you'd have your pipe right there.
Yeah. To you pick up the table pipe, and to make sure you got a fresh stem, you just broke the end off.
Yeah.
You
know? That may, I mean, to some extent, that may be like man cave goals at some point. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, like when I'm able to get like a space that is like the smoking lounge, I might almost get like a bouquet of cutty clay pipes. You know what I'm saying? Just put them in there.
Just make sure you've got a reverse mullet stiletto in the mix. And then we'll be good.
Yeah. A lot of great entries from that old episode. Absolutely. So yeah, what a great question. Thanks so much, Alex, for that one. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, send it in, show@countrysquireradio.com. We also put out on Facebook this week a post asking for some new pipe questions, and you guys delivered. So thank you so much for that. We'll be pulling from that over the next couple of episodes for sure.
Quick fire
with the squire. Quick fire questions. All right, here we go. Quick fire questions coming in from the forums over at thispipelife.com. Tomato Badhai. Still no clarification on how to pronounce that one, so we're just rolling with it.
Roll with it, buddy.
That's right. again, from the forums over at thispipelife.com. Big news about thispipelife.com, so stay tuned. Just a couple of minutes here to hear more about that. But here we go. Now, as you recall, Tomato has been going back to the last couple of episodes. He sectioned off quickfire questions in kind of a grouping. Tonight is kind of the final one. The grouping is called Serious Life Choices, which honestly is all quickfire questions.
Yeah.
But here we go. Porch sitting on a rainy day or porch sitting on a clear day?
Porch sitting on a clear day.
If it's a covered porch, man, that rainy day sitting is where it's at.
Yeah, but see, if it's rainy day, I'm going to take a nap. I'm not there. There won't be any porch sitting. There might be porch napping.
Yeah. Hey, man, have you ever had a porch nap before?
I don't know if I have.
Man, it's nice.
It's solid.
It's never expected, but when you wake up from it, it's like, oh yeah.
It's one of those where when you wake up, your like eyes are all crusty and you can't see colors anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Oh man, that's the way to do it. But no, I'm definitely gonna say rainy day.
Okay.
Man cave or actual cave?
Ooh. Man cave.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know what I would do with an actual cave. I mean, I'm sure I would find a really cool, you know, reason to have one.
I'm mildly claustrophobic. Like I've been in caves before, and it kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Have you been spelunking?
Mildly.
You're a mild spelunker. Use your words.
I did once go on a camping trip where we actually did some spelunking, or spelunking, as you prefer. But yeah, no, definitely man cave.
Man cave.
I want power. I want Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I want a bouquet of cutty pipes.
Of cutty churchwarden clay pipes. Right.
That's right. And then road trip or staycation?
Gosh, man, I'm going to have to go with staycation. That sounds so lame. But man, if I can enjoy my personal space without having to think about the normal stuff of life. Ooh, man, that's nice.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting.
Road trips have their place. I don't know, but I think right now I would choose staycation.
You know, over the last year, I've had the extreme pleasure of being able to travel a lot with you, and then also with Briar, who we've mentioned on the show.
Yeah.
And actually, recently, me and Christina and my wife were on a trip together, and I was like, you know, it's nice because like it's nice to have a travel buddy. You know what I mean? Like a good somebody to travel with and everything.
And man, you are an awesome person to travel with, but it is like pulling teeth to actually get you to like be like, hey, let's go to New Orleans. Hey, let's go. We've been invited to this thing. That sort of thing.
We're going to leave town and put down everything for like 4 days.
Yeah.
I don't handle that well.
Well, once you get on the road, you're a lot of fun. Now, for me, man, does flying count as road trip or is road kind of?
Yeah, I think getting out of town.
Okay, if it's getting out of town, then getting out of town. I love to travel, but I definitely am not big on driving. So if it's train or plane, I'm in. But if it's driving, I'm not. If it's within 6 hours, if it's within 3 hours, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah. And then finally, battlefield parks or amusement parks?
Man, that's depends on who I'm with, you know? I think like ultimate enjoyment for me personally, if I was just by myself, would be a battlefield park.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who wants to, you know, go to amusement park by yourself? But if I'm with a group of people and we're looking for something that everyone's going to like and, you know, they have cotton candy and, you know, all that crap.
Amusement
park.
Mickey Mouse.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. But I don't know. Personally, there's something about the, you know, going to a place like Vicksburg, right down the street.
That's
here
the
from us here in Mississippi, central Mississippi. We, the Battle of Vicksburg was fought literally, you know, 45 minutes to our west. And we're really lucky to have just such a great military park there that folks go and enjoy. So anyway, yeah, I'd probably have to go with that.
I mean, the stipulation that you say in terms of am I by myself or with others, that's true. But I think I'm definitely going to go amusement parks.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've actually been to an amusement park. We actually were trying to debate when the kids will be old enough to take them to Disney World. But I think we got another year or two to go. But one way or the other, if what's going to get me excited, it's going to be to go to amusement park.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great quick fire questions from Tomato Bod High. that's his name.
No,
of course,
it is.
That
You're
is
right.
His username over at thispipelife.com. Now, thispipelife.com, of course, an amazing forum, an amazing community that we strongly encourage you to join. If you go to thispipelife.com and register, be sure to use the code CSR. Thispipelife.com is actually expanding, man. They are getting even more social.
That's right.
There is now a thispipelife.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so many different ways to connect with this online community. Facebook.com/thispipelife, Twitter.com/thispipelife. Instagram.com/thispipelife. You seeing a trend here? You seeing a pattern?
You get the idea.
You get the idea. So be sure, do this for us this week. If you have not done so already, head over to Facebook.com/thispipelife. I'm not going to read them all off. You know what I'm talking about. This Pipe Life on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Follow them, then tweet, message, Insta. Talk. What are you doing on Instagram? Comment?
Yeah, sure. Comment.
Whatever it is. Let them know. Say, hey, thanks, #thispipelife for supporting and sponsoring Country Squire Radio. Let them know that. Use the #thispipelife to let them know that we really appreciate them sponsoring this show. And check them out. It's an awesome community.
That's great.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, listener feedback this week. We've got an iTunes review, and I love this because we've got an iTunes review tonight that comes in from the wife of a listener.
That's great.
Would you read this one?
That's great. This is from Mrs. Mark VV. She says, the greatest. My husband's life would not be complete without this incredible podcast about pipes and pipe tobacco. Thank God for Bo and John David and Country Squire Radio. It gives my husband purpose in life, and for that, I am truly grateful. Man, Mark's such a good friend. Of course, you know, Mark and Mrs. Mark live down in New Orleans real close, and occasionally Mark gets the chance to make the little drive up here, and man, we just love y'all a bunch, and are glad we can contribute to a little bit of sanity in your life.
Yeah, so. Big shout out to you, man, and the Mrs. Mark also mentioned in kind of the club discussion, he said, have we ever done a musical episode, or would that be jumping the shark? I've tried, Mark. He won't go for it.
No, I'm against it.
He's very much against it.
Yeah, I let Bo have a lot of creative license, but there is some things, there are just some vetoes that have to be maintained.
Y'all don't see it, but I mean, there's a button right here somewhere. I don't know exactly where it is, but it releases the Rancor pit beneath me.
Right.
He's been very generous to let me get away with some singing shenanigans at times. But,
that's right.
If I push it, I know where I'm going.
That's right. That's exactly right.
We've also been getting a lot of great tweets in for this particular episode with a lot of great suggestions, too. In fact, we also had Hochter the Love Doctor talking specifically about tasting and mentioning that kind of similar practices that you and Russ use here, which is a moist palate, drink water, chew on the smoke
swish it around your mouth and
that's
then
right.
hit more taste buds and then retrohale.
Yeah.
Is that a word or did he make
no,
that
No, it
up?
Is. You okay. want to take that, take the smoke and push it through your nose. Mm. It's one of those things, you, again, we're not inhaling the pipe tobacco. We're taking the smoke that's in our mouth and forcing it to go, you know, to go through our nose. And I think you're going to get more flavor nuance there than you would if you didn't.
Yeah, admittedly, most of the live commentary tonight has been on the loss of the beard.
Yeah.
With a lot of a lot of points to Spurgeon and how ridiculous he looked without a beard.
He did.
I feel like I'm getting the message there. Portland
yeah, he
Paul,
really did.
Or that was John Griffin who posted that.
I think Portland Paul is still laughing.
Portland Paul, he took a picture of me with my arms up in the air back when I had the beard and memed it saying, even Bo York is surprised by the lack of beard. touche, that one, I'm going to give you a retweet on that one. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Russ, lamenting the fact that you spoiled his secrets out to everybody.
No, it's okay. I mean, you know, some people just chew on tobacco.
Well, but Russ says specifically kind of his goals here. He says, I taste dozens of nuances in every blend, but my goal is to be able to detect the source, i.e. the tobacco or something else.
That's interesting. Is it the tobacco or is it something the tobacco's flavored with? Or is it something that maybe you're getting from the pipe you're smoking it in? Or the match? Or something else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's great.
And then Hawk to the Left Doctor just tweets this out in favor of the musical episode. He says, if we find out that one of the members of the Dave Matthews Band is a pipe smoker, can we then have that musical episode?
Only if Caleb is filling in for me that week.
No, I think they want to hear you go, Well, great feedback here at the live show. You know, we encourage you to tune in if you've never enjoyed a live show before. It's such a fun experience. We have a great time with those of you who do tune in live.
It really is great. We have so much fun with you guys.
You can tune in live on Monday nights in our after hours at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. That's 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. We want to also encourage you, if you're listening to the podcast right now, you should be listening to the podcast on the Satchel Podcast Player, because one of the ways that you can help out the show is through Satchel. Click the button that says be a patron. Even for just $1 an episode, you're helping secure this content, keep it going. You know, of course, we've been talking a lot about the Pipe Club, but even if you don't necessarily want to join the Pipe Club or if it's a little bit too rich for your blood, just $1 an episode goes a long way to helping support the show, growing the community. You know, we want to encourage you to do that. So it's real simple. If you're listening on Satchel, just click be a patron, and that's a great way to do it. You can also keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
Of course, all that contact information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man.
Dude, I smoked a half bowl of Perique, and I think my heart's about to explode.
It's a ringing endorsement right there.
I just hadn't done it in a little while. And you know me, I love Perique. I try to sneak Perique in every... We put Perique in aromatics and all kinds of stuff up here.
Dude, but, look, I like my Tabasco and my gumbo, but I'm not going to drink it straight.
No, I mean, it was a good exercise for me. I'm telling you, like, just smoke some, but just do a little bit.
Hey, don't do
as much as I did. One of your shortstop
pipes. Yeah. Good to go. All right, man. Well, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.